Well, last session, our group of investigators went off to speak to Hannah Fry at her house. And after enjoying some nice herbal tea and pound cake, they started to piece together that perhaps there were some strange things about the way that she saw her situation, that all the framed photographs and the photograph albums in her book, in her house, all seemed to be taken from newspapers and magazines, or photographs clipped out of them, and that she kept speaking about her husband, who was always out on the road, but there didn't seem to be any evidence of him even existing. She's very proud of her son and considers him to be a scientist, but yeah, there's very little evidence of, you know, of him even being around. While the investigators were having this discussion with her, this man came around who apparently worked for her husband's employer to drop off his wages and seemed very upset that the investigators were there asking questions and interviewing her, and threatened to cut her off financially if she carried on speaking to the investigators. Shortly after all this, Anthony decided that he was going to try to poke around a bit upstairs, and after checking out a couple of rooms, he found one room that was being used for storage, and poking around in there managed to upset a box that contained a Hessian sack full of gold coins. Having made a huge racket, he decided to dive out the window and found himself hanging off the edge of the building. Meanwhile, the others have gone upstairs with Hannah Fry, who is very, very upset about this intrusion and that everyone has seen these gold coins and is now insisting that you leave her house. Well, let's go back and see what's happening with Anthony. So, Anthony had slid down this steep roof, hit the gutter, and was now hanging off that about 10 feet off the ground over some hard rocks. So what exactly is your plan? How are you going to try to get out of this situation?
I think his plan is so that they don't know he was there. He's going to try and climb down or drop down onto the ground and enter the house quickly before they've got back to the stairs. So, like, they're coming down the stairs, he's standing at the bottom of it like he's coming from the back.
Okay. So, give me a jump roll.
Hopefully without a broken leg.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be the tricky part, because you're effectively pushing this roll to get away now. So there will be consequences if you fail this jump roll.
I mean, I'm pushing the road. What if I don't push the road? I hang there forever? Is that just me in perpetuity?
You could try to climb back.
I will take 7 luck and make my 27 a 20.
You can't spend luck on push rolls.
Oh, yes, that's true.
So, yeah, unfortunately,
well, I
as
said
you
climb
try to
down.
Get yourself... As you try to get yourself in position to drop down, that is the point at which the gutter comes away from the roof of the house. And all your plans to drop down safely are scuppered as you suddenly find yourself falling backwards with this length of gutter coming down towards your face. Let's give you...
Cool.
Can I?
See how badly... Yes, actually you can. You've heard all this creaking and clattering sound, and then just all of a sudden there is this shape moving fast past the window, and then another shape as this length of gutter falls down. So you only take 1 point of damage from the fall. Somehow you've been lucky enough to just land properly.
I'm an absolute athlete.
And then as the gutter lands on you, you take another 3 points of damage. As you're landing there, you're there on your back. You just haven't got your bearings. And all of a sudden, this length of metal gutter comes down and smacks you straight in the face.
Oh, boy.
I'd like to run to where he's at.
Okay, yeah, Anthony is there on the ground. He's covered in the filthy rainwater and mulch that had gathered in the gutter. There's blood running down his face from where this length of metal has just caught him across the bridge of the nose.
Okay, then now just tilt your head back now, chin to the sky. Okay, and you let me do all the talking for you. We're going to say that one of those big old goons came up and was chasing around and beat you up. What were you doing up there? You made a loud clatter. Sounded like Santa Claus.
I don't think she has a son. Definitely not. But she has a bags of gold up in that room. Point to the open window. We should probably move in case they look out that window.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back into the house, all right? And I'm going to wrap his arm around my shoulders and just help the poor boy back into the house.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, meanwhile, Nigel and the Major were upstairs with Hannah Fry, who was having a meltdown with you having seen this bag of gold. I was just telling you, you have to go. You have to get out. You have to get out. Go. Oh, please, just go.
I am going to try to calm her, see if we can help her out, see if we can find out what happened. I am going to try to just lay down the charm, calm her down. And, you know, because maybe see if someone is at the house, see what that was, if that was a raccoon or a burglar, or what that was. So I am going to be trying to lay on the charm.
Okay. Well, give me a charm roll then.
Got you. He's had a stressful day. Okay. Well, 50 out of 50.
Okay.
I'll go and shut the window to reinforce it.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, as you go over to the window and shut it, I mean, you can't quite see, but you can just hear Frieda May speaking in calming terms to someone down in the garden. Nigel calms down Mrs. Fry a bit, but I mean, she's still shaking a bit, and there are still tears welling up in her eyes. You can't know anything.
Now.
You can't know anything about this. This is all I have left. This is all I have left of him, and it's all that I have left for emergencies. And if they're going to stop Gilbert's wages, then I'm going to need all this. And
now, Mrs. Fry, I apologize that we've stumbled across this hoard, but please, you're going to need to tell us what this is. Where on earth did such a treasure come from? And please tell us what's going on. Be frank and candid. We can help.
She says that gold, it was
gold can't be legal.
Of course it is. It was
trying to calm her.
It was Gilbert's wedding present to me. He called it a dowry. I know traditionally that the dowry comes from the bride's side, but his family had money, and this was his dowry to us, and it was going to be so that we could build a life together. And I've been saving it. I don't want to spend it because it makes me think of him. But if they're going to take away my money, I'm going to have to spend it, aren't I?
No, of course, but I mean, a dowry is one thing, but look at these. These are not. I mean, where are they from? Where did he find such treasures?
They'll pick up one of these coins. I mean, presumably, this isn't like a Spanish doubloon.
No, it doesn't look that old. The motif that's stamped on it, they're all stamped, is more aquatic. It's got a symbol on it that looks maybe like a dolphin or a shark, and strange writing in some language you don't think you've seen before, just around the outside.
So where did he stumble across these things? Is this an heirloom?
I don't know. It was his family. His family gave them to us.
Okay. Well, Miss...
You can't tell anyone, though.
Yeah, Mrs. Fry, we can just act like we didn't see nothing. Do not worry.
Yes.
Do you mind if we make sure there's no one here? Because I heard some noises. Can we just make sure there's no one here? I want to make sure you're safe. Because I don't want us to leave and find out there was an intruder in your house.
Oh, and at that, I mean, she suddenly pales again.
Or raccoons, those little devils.
Well, yes. You better check.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and check the house.
While you go off and check, I mean, Mrs. Fry gets down on her hands and knees and starts gathering up the coins and putting them back in the sack.
I'll draw my Webley revolver and...
Well, if you see a raccoon, you shoot it. They're cute, but they're vicious.
Don't worry. I'll get the vicious little buggers.
They got their little hands. They're they look so sweet. They will rip your face right off.
He doesn't know.
Don't have raccoons in England. They look so sweet.
See yourself lucky. I mean, they look adorable. They are pure murder. So let's check the house.
Like, originally he was fading it. Now he's actually quite worried.
little face stealing bandits.
Jesus.
Okay. Well, you check. I mean, obviously there are the two doors you've passed. If you're checking the other door, it's not locked. Looking inside, it's another bedroom. It looks like it's probably a man's bedroom. It's a bit untidy. There are some clothes lying around, some on the bed, some on the floor. There's stacks of magazines, things like Popular Mechanics, but also a lot of pulp science fiction magazines, particularly Planet Raiders magazines. Stacked up, and there are pictures that have been taken from these pulp magazines or from Popular Mechanics or whatever that have been ripped out and pinned on the wall. Some of them showing things like circuit diagrams or instructions for building particular machines. Some of them are just illustrations from pulp stories.
What I want to do is I kind of want to make through. I want to make a big show. I'm going to look under the bed. I'm going to look in the closet and, as if I'm looking for somebody. I want to keep my eye out for, one, if I can see any more of these coins or anything anywhere.
Okay.
That he seems to... I am assuming he's stealing these from his mom to pay for his hobbies. And... or anything else. But I still want to kind of make it a very big show. Like, not like I'm personally pilfering through the stuff, but I am looking for an intruder, quote unquote, or a raccoon.
Any of the papers? Are there pictures of rockets? Like,
oh yeah.
I'll glance through the papers while Seth's doing this.
Yeah, right. I mean, lots of pictures.
What rockets look like. They haven't been invented yet, but he's got a good image of what a rocket looks like.
Well, I mean, there were lots of images like that from pop science fiction.
I've read H.G. Wells. I know all about the
H.G. Wells.
Yeah, I mean, these were the days of... Actually, no, it was a bit before Flash Gordon, but, I mean, there was certainly plenty of stuff like that in the pulp magazines. And so, yeah, I mean, there's lots of pictures of spacecraft and alien landscapes and stuff like that pinned up. If Nigel can pass a spot hidden roll, he might find something. In fact, both of you can make spot hidden rolls.
Okay.
Could I do it as a library use if it's papers?
It isn't.
I got an odd 8, so extreme success.
Okay.
Versus spot hidden, I passed with a 39 versus 45.
So what Nigel notices is poking around. Yeah, as I said, there are some clothes that have been left piled around. They're lying. Some of them are lying next to the laundry basket, so at least he tried. And as your foot hits a pair of jeans that are lying on the ground, you hear the clink of metal, and one of these gold coins rolls out of the pocket.
I will like to pocket that gold coin.
Okay, yep.
And see if there were any more.
There are.
The clink, clink. Because then I could tell everybody that I found one gold coin.
There are another three in the pocket.
Oh, I would like to take all the gold coins.
Okay. You can do this.
So that comes to four total?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Hey, guys, look, I found one gold coin. Okay. And so I'll snag those, but continue doing my big to-do of there better not be anybody here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or you little masked face stealing bandits.
Well, clearly your activities in the room have scared the raccoons away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank God.
What the major notices, having passed his spot hidden, is that, I mean, perhaps as you'd expect from a young man, this isn't the best-smelling room you've ever been in. But, I mean, even considering that there are unwashed clothes and, yeah, a young man living in here, yeah, the smell of body odour and, well, yeah, other bad smells in here. This is a particularly malodorous room.
I don't want to worry you, but there is something rather odd. An odour which doesn't really line up with the unwashed clothes and other expected smells of a young man. See if we can find the source. And I'll sort of start sort of like poking things with my walking stick, moving things aside. Is there anything?
Yeah. And
is there an obvious source to this smell?
There isn't. It just seems to be coming from everywhere. And as you poke around a bit more,
it's like a fishy smell?
Maybe slightly, but yeah, partly that and partly body odour. And yeah, it does largely seem to be, you reckon, coming from the bed sheets and the clothes.
Not a dead body then, if I just sort of glance under the bed?
No, you find a convincing lack of corpses in the room.
Very strange.
Well, he's a stinky young man who hangs out in a marsh.
I mean, to be fair, doesn't seem to be running water or plumbing here. And, well, anyway, do you find anything useful?
Yeah, we can talk about that. Let's check the rest of it, make sure there are no brigands.
Yeah. You spend a bit more time checking around upstairs. Mrs. Fry finishes putting the coins away again. You don't really find anything else interesting upstairs, so I'll take this opportunity to cut back down to Frieda May and Anthony. So, I mean, you've managed to dab away the worst of the blood from Anthony's face, but there is a nasty cut across the bridge of his nose. It looks like he's going to have two black eyes. And there is all this filthy rainwater that has just soaked into his nice clothing.
So what I think that we say is that goon from the front door came back and just sucker punched you right in the face. And maybe he was trying to get into the upstairs. Let's say he's going up there to get the gold coins. You find him. He sucker punches you right in the face because you're a rich boy that have never had a real fight. I can see by the way that you look and talk and the way that you dress. I think she would believe us.
Okay. I have a couple of points. One, great plan. Except, why is he climbing the hedge into the back garden where I'm sitting on a toilet to punch me in the face?
Well, because you saw him going up the stair or going up on the roof. Maybe you spooked him.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I got you now. Also, this is a very cheap scarf. I am not a rich boy.
Really?
It's all about accessorizing.
Oh, I noticed that you're also layering your clothing. Is that something that the...
Yeah, movement gives like, it gives it a little bit extra. It feels like there's thought put into it. And it just gives a real sense of weight to your whole outfit, you know, kind of gives an air of value, I think.
Rita will just look down at her very plain clothing as just like, I gotta find layers the next time I go to the store. It's layers on layers.
Layers of movement. That's what it's all about. That's the the Anthony Marsden School of Fashion. He'll have a blog in the future when he's about 70 and fashion.
Do I need to roll a first aid for him?
That would be good, I think, yeah, because, I mean, there is this bleeding wound on his face. I mean, if you want to staunch the blood. And...
Very sorry about that. It's a 50 versus 78. Or, sorry, 78 versus 50.
Oh, you've managed so to mop up.
I know.
You've managed to mop up some of the blood from his face, but the wound is still bleeding.
Oh my gosh. You bleed like a, well... I'm not going to say anything
like
untoward.
A richer man?
Like a richer man would bleed. Yes, exactly. I didn't want to say it. You said that, not me. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm feeling so peckish. I'm going to go and see if she's got a cucumber or, you know, an apple or something. My gosh. You know, you can't live on pound cake alone. I'm going to hop in and see what she's got in a cool box or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's got, you know, some fresh produce. I mean, it is the autumn, so, you know, it's not a huge range, but, yeah, there's a few gourds and stuff like that. There's, you know, perhaps a half-eaten pumpkin that you could probably dig into.
Perfect, yes. I'll do that.
Okay. Leaving Anthony sitting there bleeding in the living room.
Well,
okay.
There's nothing to be done for it.
It's oozing more than bleeding.
Yes. So, yeah.
I really won't take too long. I'm just going to hop in and then just hop right back out with something.
Sure. Then, I mean, the rest of you finish upstairs. Mrs. Fry is ready to go back downstairs. She says, have you found anyone? Did you manage to chase them off?
It seems to be empty. I don't believe anyone is here, but... Major, did you lock the window after you closed that?
I did, particularly when you told me about those damn trash pandas.
Just be careful around them. We'll escort her down. And it says, have you seen any suspicious individuals around here recently?
No.
Maybe those bootleggers we had talked about earlier.
I suppose every now and then I have seen people out in the marshes, but they might just be hunting.
Well, it's very, very possible. When do we get to witness the tragedy that is Anthony's face?
Well, I think as you're coming down now, yeah, going into the living room, and there's Anthony, I'm assuming with a handkerchief or something, just, you know, staunching the trickle of blood coming from his face.
God, what on earth has happened to you?
Hello.
Is it one of those trash pandas?
I'd like to come in there with the sliced pumpkin. Oh my gosh, you'll never believe what happened to poor Anthony. Put this pumpkin over your nose. That's something my grandma taught me. Just put that on there. That's going to help the bleeding, and you're not going to scar from this. Oh,
is this a thing?
The boy's never been in a fight before. It is today.
A fight? Who's been fighting? What's happened?
Oh, the big fella. What was in the door? Well, Anthony, he found him climbing up the roof and he stopped him. Stopped an intruder from getting into your house.
Who, Mr. Elliot?
Suppose that would explain the open window. And the knocked over coins.
Yeah,
and this mess of a face that this poor boy's got.
Why would Mr. Elliot be breaking into my house?
I mean, it looked very like him. He was a car sped off. I couldn't get to see the car after, but he was wearing, like, you know, a heavy raincoat, a trilby. I mean, he was up to no good. He was trying to get into your house.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, Mrs. Fry, you must tell us more about this man. Do you know anything about him? Where does he come from? Where is he based? Maybe we could hunt him down and maybe find some of your lost coins. He managed to get away with any.
I don't think he took anything. But Mr. Elliot, I've known Mr. Elliot for years. He's come by every month with the money from the company. Why would he break into the house? I, She goes and sits down quite heavily in a chair and just looks confused.
Where is he? Is he nearby? Is he based in the nearby town of Ipswich?
I don't know. He just comes here once a month with Gilbert's pay.
Well, I do not mean to alarm you, but I believe that Mr. Fry is very upset seeing a woman of your stature and of your importance. Now, you're married to one of the top salesmen in the region. Maybe even the whole country. You know, he shouldn't be talking to you like that. In the country. And, you know, I think maybe he was upset, maybe a little emasculated with the way that I gave him a good shakedown right there. And, you know, perhaps he was just trying to get back at a kind woman who had opened her home to, you know, just a bunch of reporters from a magazine for which she cherishes, and a magazine that cherishes its readership. And, you know, I wouldn't put anything past him. Anyone's wearing a raincoat when it's not really that wet out. Unbelievable.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Maybe we could arrange for some free magazines to be delivered, maybe at the next two or three issues. And that's probably within our remit.
That's such a good idea.
I think we could do that. Mrs. Fry, I tell you what, before we leave, can we just get a look around, make sure there is no one hiding around outside? I desperately do not want to leave you if there are still brigands about.
And perhaps we should wait for her son to get home so that he can take over the guard.
That's not a bad idea.
Otis comes and goes at all sorts of odd hours. Just make sure that there's no one around here, and then please, if you wouldn't mind going, I think I just need to go to bed for a bit and think about things and
sit down. This has been a very stressful time.
I don't know what's happening anymore. I don't know what's happening. Why does everything have to be like this?
Why don't you take a loop around the property? I'm going to get into the medicine cabinet and see if there's not something for her nerves.
Yeah, I'm going to step out and just, I would like to get a look around.
I'll walk with you.
Also see if I can see a path that Otis might be, if he's going off to do his little whatever it is, see if I can see any trail that he's leaving behind or anything like that. See if I can figure out where he goes.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone who's going outside wants to give me a tracking roll and see whether you can find any trails that he's left.
I think Anthony's going to stay around the sitting room and just look at little knickknacks, see what's around letters.
This is my first character. It's had a tracking skill. Let's see if I can actually take advantage of this. Oh, so close to a hard 22 out of 42.
Okay. You can see that there isn't a single trail that seems to have been laid down, but there certainly are paths out from here that have gone through the reeds. But there is one that does look more heavily trampled than any of the others, that is just going off into the reeds, going, you reckon, probably north from here, running parallel to the coastline, roughly.
Okay. I would kind of nod to the major and say, do you want to check that out? We don't wait for the others for that.
Be hesitant to head off on our own, but she did say that he didn't have a car.
That's correct.
Me as a likely direction for him to go in.
Well, I'll point out this looks like the most used trail, so this might be where Otis is heading off to build his rocket ship or dig his gold or whatever. Or his still. That, I think, is probably one of those bad mixtures that drives people insane.
I agree. I mean, there's more going on than just Otis. I mean, whatever he's building and using his mother's gold to build is certainly probably a source of a fine story, but this town and the area around it
something's odd going on. I mean, those government folk and those strange folk in the car and this company man. I mean, why on earth would he be paying this poor woman? I mean, her husband's clearly dead or disappeared.
Oh, or he might be some gangster.
I hadn't considered that. Maybe he was part of some sort of crime family, and with his passing, maybe they're paying it off as in a reward for his deeds or whatever.
Some blood debt. I don't know. But anyways, this woman is obviously confused. I say we calm her down, and let's see. I don't have any skills appropriate, I don't think, to help fix this poor woman's gutter that looks like it's coming down. But
well, maybe her son or someone. He's obviously a mechanical genius. It makes sense to follow this path. Maybe we should check in with the other two. I don't want to leave them high and dry, as it were, in this house.
Well, we only got 3 legs and 6 bullets between us. I don't like them odds.
Oh, that got me.
Unbelievable.
How long have you been sitting on that line set? Since day one, you've had that written. Sure.
But after that, yeah, I just want to check around, see if there's anything else that I see that seems a bit odd, and then we can head back in and report that the bandits are gone. Unless I find bandits.
You don't find any bandits.
That'd be a twist.
You don't really find anything else odd.
What about raccoons? Are there any raccoons?
No.
I want some wholesome raccoons for this. Like, that cherry on top for this campaign.
I've met a raccoon once in my life, and they're not wholesome. They're little fuckers.
Sweet. He has to be called Bert. He's got to wear a red jumper.
Oh, no. If you find baby raccoons, which could possibly be one of the cutest animals on Earth, you know.
I had a pet raccoon when I was a little girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His name was Roscoe.
But yeah, I say we do our big show of checking around and come back in and make sure that this nice, probably widow, and our bloodied little hipster friend are okay.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, back inside, I can't really find much in the way of drugs in the house. I mean, the closest you can find is some of the herbs that are in the kitchen that Mrs. Fry has used for making tea. Yeah, I mean, there's some lavender in there. I mean, maybe that'll help calm her down a bit.
Yeah, so I'm not much of the domestic type, so I'll just, rub some lavender, put it into some hot water, shake it about a little bit, and present it.
All right.
It's grassy-looking, cloudy green water.
She drinks it gratefully and
smells nice.
You see that lavender does wonders for the senses.
But for whatever reason, she does seem to be calming down a bit now, and she says, I think you'd better go now. I mean, if Mr. Elliot does come back, maybe he'll be angry to see you here. Maybe that's why he tried breaking in before, because he was angry. And
oh, of course, yes. Anthony, why don't we give her a little bit of space, and we'll call back on you just to check in, and we'll make sure that we're not seen nor heard. But we would never want to leave you in a position where your income was where we're compromising your income. So we'll pop out for the rest of today, and we'll check back in with you maybe tomorrow. How does that sound?
No, all right, yes, I'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah, you have our word. If one thing, the strange but true employees are known for, it's discreet, sensible work and no sensationalism. We'll be really subtle.
Okay.
And that is strange but true. And I close the door.
Now me and my mermaid friend must leave.
All right, I forgot. She's a mermaid.
So meanwhile, as you head out, you can see Nigel and the Major, they seem to have done some kind of check around the perimeter, but they're back at the house now.
she all right?
Oh, yeah. I put some lavender in a water and she'll be fine.
Good. Good. And we're now outside the house?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would have shown him the trail and say that the major and I have deduced that this looks like the most well-used path out of here, and that's probably where Otis is. And once we get a little further away, I got a little bit more stuff I want to talk to you about, but a little bit further away from the house for that.
Well, okay then. Oh, and you know what? I'm going to pull out my rifle here because don't you know it's duck hunting season?
Actually, I mean, you do look around as you're saying that, and there is a duck flying overhead.
Go for it, Frida.
Oh, okay then. And I will shoot that duck out of the air.
Okay, then, well, I'll tell you what, give me a firearms roll. It's not close enough that you'll get any bonuses on it, but it's not far enough away that you'll get any penalties either. So it'll just be a straight firearms rifle roll.
Ooh,
63 versus 35. Okay. Yeah, your shot goes wild and the duck honks an alarm and changes direction and then just flies off deeper in the marsh. As you're looking at it and it's flying away, I mean, you're taking a fairly close look. There's something very strange looking about that duck. You can't quite make out what it is, but it doesn't look right to you.
An odd duck. As Frida just tried to shoot a bald eagle.
Oh, no.
I think the major's up for a bit of sport. I think if it's still within range of a pistol, he'll take a pot shot.
Oh, you can try.
We're about to blow all our ammo on this.
it's a bit too far away. You'll need a hard success on this because it is a bit too far away for a pistol.
Okay, so I got a 23 versus 50. That's a hard success.
Hey,
okay.
We're eating good tonight.
I'm sure that duck who's boss.
So, yeah, you do pull out your pistol and you wing it. You literally shoot it in the wing. And this duck just starts honking an alarm and spiraling down to the ground like a sycamore leaf.
I've fired that gun since 1918.
Major, now that was a shot. Wowee. And I start tromping after the duck. I'm going to take that to the taxidermist.
I imagine, like, thinking he's in America, he'll, like, spin his revolver around his finger and then, like, drop it in the mud. Hope that no one saw it and put it back in his holster.
Yeah, that duck has landed a fair bit off this rough path that you've identified. You're going to have to go much deeper into the salt marshes. But yeah, I mean, if you want to...
Man, we are going to get so nasty.
Yeah, you are sort of wading through. And it's not like deep mud. A lot of it is fairly solid ground, but every now and then you're going through pools of salty, brackish water. Every step is squelching as you're pushing through the reeds. But it is fairly easy to follow the path to the duck because, you know, as I said, you've wounded it and it's quacking away, making noises of distress from out in the reeds.
Okay, well, we will find this duck and we will have to wring its neck, and now the major has to eat it. You shoot it, you eat it. That wasn't popular in the First World War, but that's the rule my daddy taught me.
Oh, okay. You sure your last name isn't Pickman? Okay, you push your way deeper into the marsh. And do find eventually this duck lying there in the reeds. is thrashing around. Its right wing is a ruin. And now that you're close to it, you can see what it was that looked odd about it before, which is there's something that seems to be smeared all over it. A sort of bluish-green substance, like paint or something, that's just coating its feathers.
Now, this duck has had a very bad day.
Is it like crude oil? I'd add something like this.
Well, what you do is you first put it out of its misery.
Go ahead, Major.
The Major's not...
You can use your cane if you want to save the bullet.
No, he'll reach down, he'll break the duck's neck, and I guess put it in a bag or something. I think like he'll let's see if we can.
Here's where real life Joe's knowledge falls out. What do? You put it in a carrier bag from like the supermarket or something.
I've got a Tesco bag somewhere. One of those long life bag.
As I said, there is this stuff that's smeared over its feathers. It looks a bit lumpy, certainly a bluish-green colour. There's a smell. It's difficult to tell because you're in the salt marshes and there's obviously the smell of the blood from the duck as well. But there's definitely an odd smell to it.
Has the Major got it all over his gloves? Like, has it come off?
Yeah, it has. You can give me a natural world roll, if you'd like.
I can try.
All of us are just the Major.
Yeah,
I rolled an eight.
All right.
All he's going to say is, it's not a natural world. That's going to be all you get.
No, looking at it, you're fairly certain that it's... you don't recognise precisely what, but you reckon that you're looking at some kind of fungus.
Oof, this duck. It's like... is natural, some sort of spores or something has got into it.
Except it's not that. No, I mean, looking at it, no, you're fairly certain, because you got a good result there, you're fairly certain that it's not an infection or anything like that, that this looks like it's some kind of fungus that's maybe been ground up and smeared over it. And certainly, as you can see from the bits of it that have dropped down in amongst the reeds and the shadows now, that it appears to be glowing, or at least it appears to be maybe naturally luminescent.
Phosphorus or something? Like, does it wipe off? Like, can I clean the, if I use my gloves to wipe the feathers down, does it actually come off?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you can use some of the salt water to wash it off.
What colour was those lights we saw flying around? Is it just a glowing duck?
This could be the source of these strange lights.
Well, I don't know how you're going to put spin on glowing ducks.
Well, you don't have to put spin on it. I've never seen a glowing duck before, but strange but true, there's one.
There, I suppose so.
I feel there's a pun here, but I can't quite find it.
Wait, is that the Major?
Strange but true, all out of luck. Confused by flying duck. There you go. That's a headline.
Well, now that we've got our glowing duck, and anybody that was down that trail knows we're here.
Oh, yeah.
And we're knee-deep in salt water.
Yeah.
You've never hunted big feet.
Case closed.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get back on that train. Get some sandwiches and get the fuck out.
Another successful Otis walks out of the bushes. No, we said case closed.
We're done.
Now that we're away, I do want to show them two of these coins. Let's say I found them in the son's room. I just want to be a little further away from the house before I divulge that.
Oh. And Rita's going to... Frida's going to get down onto one knee and she's going to take out her appraising glass and a little lamp, and I'm going to appraise these.
Okay, give me an appraise roll.
God damn it. 67 versus 55.
Push it.
I will push it. Great. Yes,
the problem you've got at the moment is that you're not doing this under ideal circumstances. I mean, it is daylight, but it's gloomy, and you know, you're standing in the middle of a marsh. But yeah, I mean, if you
use the duck's light,
I mean, because you're surrounded by all these tall reeds, if you try to move around a bit and find somewhere that you know has got a bit of a clearing, you might be able to get more light and get a proper look at this. So, if you want to use that to push the roll,
yeah, sure. I'll pop my head up over all of the reeds and look for some flat space. Okay, you young fellas what are taller than me, find me a flat space where I can look around. I'm just too distracted.
Yeah, I mean, the reeds are tall enough at the moment where you are that none of you can actually look over them, so you're really going to have to trust luck and just stumble around and try to find somewhere.
We're going to wait till we get back to the hotel. I'm probably going to need to take some photographs anyway.
Well, that's true.
Okay. So does that mean you're not pushing the roll?
Yeah, I think I'll, because I just can't get good conditions to appraise it, I'm going to just pocket this or give it back and say, I'll need to wait until I can get back to the hotel and get a better look.
Well, that's okay. Fine. You'll get some photographs for the magazine and all that. Would you know? That way they're nice and on the table and not just on a marsh ground, because yeah, it's not as good looking.
Well, that's true. No one would buy that.
I say we continue down this trail, the duck in hand.
Yeah. Well, now that's an interesting point. I mean, you've wandered deeper within the marsh, and you are surrounded now by all these very tall reeds. And you think you came from that direction over there. That's probably where the trail was, but there aren't really any landmarks around here, and it's really easy to lose your bearings.
Ooh, we need another track.
I can navigate.
I think you need a navigate roll.
I say
four times out of ten, I tend to find the right way.
I made that track roll once. It's 42. I'm not willing to put any bet money that I'll find it a second time.
Yeah, this I think would be a navigate roll, just to recover your bearings and try to find your way back.
I got a 55. For the life of me, I can't find out where we're going. I think it's this way, but I just don't know. With all the broad reeds and salt water, dusky light. Hang on. I'm going to try and...
Okay. I would like to track our trail to get to the duck back to the trail that we were on. So
Let's do that.
Okay. That is my approach.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you want. Otherwise, if we keep following the major, we're going to be in Newburyport by the end of the day.
Okay. Well, yeah. Give me a track roll then.
Okay, so I start at 42 and 38.
Ooh. Whew.
Okay.
No, major. It's this way. Look, there's our footprints right there.
Good show. Well done.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah, you too. You do, happily steer the major away from the direction that he was going in and start leading back towards the trail. Yeah, you eventually do find this trail that's been left again. You follow this trail for a bit more. It is October, but it's still a marsh. There are all sorts of sounds of life around. You hear the occasional bird call. You hear the odd sound of a frog croaking. And then, as you're moving through a particularly wet part of the marsh, you hear the sound of insects buzzing. Particularly, that you hear what sound like quite a lot of flies buzzing around. It seems to be coming from just off the path you're on. And the wind changes direction, and there is suddenly a very nasty smell coming from that direction.
Is it a smell like that duck?
No, this is more a dead smell.
I'm going to step forward and push the reeds aside with my cane, if it's close to the path, and see if I can see what it is.
It's not right by the path. You'll need to go perhaps 10 yards in the direction, but it's easy to tell where you should be going because the sound of buzzing flies gets louder the closer you get. You get to a point where you push the reeds aside and there is a pool of water. And lying half in, half out of it, there is the body of a man. His face looks a bit swollen, as if from decay, and his skin is discoloured. But you know, what is more obvious is that his abdomen has been ripped open. There are guts just lying, half floating on the water. The water is discoloured with his blood, and there are insects and a few crabs just crawling all over him, you know, feasting on his flesh.
Does he look like either an Italian film star or an ex-president?
He does not. He does not look like either of these things.
Does he look to be like 22 years old?
Maybe. But I think let's leave this episode on that point and then pick up next session with some sanity rolls.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you everyone for joining us here, the Rackham's guy. Thank you, Seth.
sorry, what was that?
I warned you about him.
Oh, yeah, you said they'd rip their face right off, and look at his face.
Those were some big raccoons.
Thank you so much, everyone, for playing. And thank you everyone over listening. I hope you're enjoying our playthrough of Flotsam and Jetsam. We'll do a quick sign off in case you want to get in touch with us. If you want to get in touch with me, my name is Joe Tree. You can find me on Twitter at Joe the GM or the podcast at HWR Podcast. I can also be found on the podcast Discord, and there's a link to that in the show notes. I'd also love it if you could check out our Patreon at patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. It is the absolute best way of supporting the show. And not only do you get early access to all of our episodes, at least 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks, but there's a whole lot of content there which is only available to Patreons, including Call of Cthulhu scenario and 3 Cult Divinity Lost scenarios, which involve Scott as a player, which I think, as I said last time, was absolutely terrifying and an absolute pleasure to play with and to hear. So please do check us out at patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast and help us keep doing what we do. Owen, thank you so much for playing with us. Anything you'd like to plug, share, mention it?
Yeah, guys, if you want to find me, I'm HowWeRollOwen anywhere on the internet. Owen is Eoghan. You can mostly find me streaming different games on twitch.tv/HowWeRollOwen. I'm also at HowWeRollOwen on Twitter, and I hang out in various Discords, my own and HowWeRolls, which you'll find pinned on my Twitter. So drop me a follow over there.
Amazing. And also check Owen out in our recent playthrough of Rime of the Frostblade, which has been incredibly entertaining, and I highly recommend you check it out. I won't say anything about 10-foot poles, but Owen does some great stuff with them. Okay. Seth, thank you so much.
Great work.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Where can people find more of you?
You made that sound so much more sordid, Scott.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm Seth Skorkowski. You can find my YouTube channel where I talk about various role-playing games and philosophy of gaming, or just really silly videos sometimes, at the highly imaginative name Seth Skorkowski. You can find me on Twitter at S. Skorkowski. So once you know how to spell Skorkowski, I'm real easy to find. And I'm also a fantasy and horror novelist, so you can also find my books and my audiobooks at various retailers, and as well as the internet.
I was going to say, I'm slowly working my way through the Dameron saga, and not only is it fantastically written, I absolutely love the narrator. It's R.C. Bray, isn't it? He's so good.
Oh, wow.
He did a fantastic job with that book. That was an audio award finalist the year it came out, which is kind of the Oscars of audiobooks. But I lost that year to The Girl with All the Gifts, which was fantastic. Wow. And I was honored to lose to that book. So
that was some stiff competition.
He was a fantastic narrator.
And Veronica, again, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to plug, share, mention? Where can people find more of you?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on the internet at Typical Veronica. I stream on twitch.tv/geeklyinc on Sundays, where I GM Pulp Cthulhu. And then I also play on Saturdays as a player for a game in Vason. So that's a really fun RPG from Free League Publishing. So, yeah.
But again, Scott, thank you so much for GMing this. It's been a real pleasure, as always. Where can people find more of you?
Yes, thank you, Joe. If people want to get in contact with me, you can find me on Twitter at sdorwood. You can find me on the How We Roll or the Good Friends of Jackson Elias Discords. Or if you want to actually hear the Good Friends of Jackson Elias, the podcast I do with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, you can find that at blasphemoustomes.com or, well, wherever you get podcasts from. And you can hear us talking about Call of Cthulhu, weird fiction, horror films, and other creepy stuff.
Cool. And we'll be back very soon with the next exciting episode. Thank you so much for listening.